Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 29th, 2024. This morning I will talk about small t transcendence. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you created us, and when we sinned, you offered us a pathway to salvation through Jesus Christ. Forgive us our wayward hearts, our idolatrous minds, and our treasonous actions. Help us to love the things that you love. Thank you for the many blessings in this life, our health, our families, our jobs, and our communities. Give us hearts for you alone. In the power of your Holy Spirit, lift us above the confusion and drama of this life. Lift our hearts to the cross, that we might not stumble or sin. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. In John 1:1 we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Virtually any Christology, that is, a theology of Christ, can solve the self-referencing problem, the problem that a closed system requires an external reference to maintain stability. The chief requirement is that the image of Christ be external to the self, not a mere image of itself. The New Testament answer to this problem arose in a simple retelling of the Jesus story. The Apostle Paul's writing records several of these early church confessions. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12. Much like the citations above from the Apostle John, Jesus is immediately associated with God the Father. More recent attempts to chain Jesus to his humanity suggest a clear departure from the early church norm. The implications of this attempted cleavage between Jesus the person and Jesus the Son of God makes it helpful to discuss two types of transcendence. The first type I will call small t transcendence, any image of Jesus that only solves the self-referencing problem. Any image of Jesus external to the self satisfies the need for an external reference. Today, there are many such images of Jesus that merely satisfy this requirement. The second type I will call large T transcendence, any image of Jesus that equates him to God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. Here, Jesus, as third member of the Trinity, stands outside of time and space because God created both. This is the Jesus of the New Testament who walks on water, heals the sick, exorcises demons, and rises from the dead. In this reflection, I will focus on small t transcendence. Imagine for a moment a mural with 16 images of Jesus in four rows. In the top left-hand corner is a silhouette of Jesus penned in black. Working across the first row are the same image in brown, amber, and white colors. In the second row, the silhouette and the ordering of the colors is reversed. In the third row, the silhouette loses various features of the image, and the colors are all shades of gray. In the fourth row, the silhouette morphs step by step into an outline of Satan with colors from pink to bright red. The point of this graphical exercise is to display why the small t transcendence image of Jesus is dangerous. While the individual is anchored to an external reference, the reference itself is free-floating, not anchored to the story of Jesus given in the New Testament. This is one interpretation of the idolatry problem that we face in postmodern culture. Another visual image between God who created heaven and earth and humanly created idols is found in Psalm 115, verses 3-8. Our God is in heaven. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, or the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet that do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. When I read this passage, I am immediately reminded of the bobblehead plastic Jesuses that used to decorate car dashboards. This problem of idolatrous images motivated the writers of the Old Testament to forbid visual images of God. The more insidious images of Jesus are those that we carry around in our heads. While I have focused on the self-referencing problem and the problem of free-floating images of Jesus, idolatry can take the form of false priorities. This happens when we neglect the image of God altogether and make something else our first priority. A person, a job, a philosophy, a political view, a gender, an ethnicity, or a race. We use our first priority to measure everything else, so it functions differently than other priorities. If my job is my number one priority, I think of everything in terms of advancement and money. If my spouse is my first priority, then my spouse's opinion is a measure of where I work, what I eat and wear, and who I talk to. Saying that God is one of our priorities implies that we commit idolatry. If anything other than God is our first priority, we also commit sin, violating the first commandment. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.